so we're, that's right. Put on the video.
Yeah, so we're holding here. You want to show video?
Sure. Okay,
not a problem. Okay, let's say that. Okay. Where are you located?
In New York.
Where in New York?
On the Upper West Side.
On the Upper West Side, okay. Well, Perikel Nedarim. So we're holding here Perikel Nedarim, yeah?
Yes.
Omer Biram Arav. Maidich Siv. Shlomo, you have a package upstairs. Maidich, what? Maidich Siv Miyesh Achachem V'yoven Esois Alma Avdar. It's a very famous Chazal, more in Nedarim, that they asked, on the Pasuk, Miyesh Achachem V'yoven Esois, Dovah Zanish Achachem L'vim V'malochim V'loi Pishuha, Ad Shepirsh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmoi. Shenema V'yema Shem Al Ozen Teirasi V'loi Shomu V'koyle V'holchu Ba. Hayinu V'loi Shomu V'koyle Hayinu V'holchu Ba. Amarav Shel Baruch Hu B'Torah Tchila Ad Kan. So very famous Gemara that says that even though they learned maybe, but they were faulted for not making Berachas HaTorah first. Sometimes it's very, very difficult to understand, like, what does one have to do with the other. I mean, it's something that in Bayis Rishon they had all sorts of Avodah Zorah and stuff like that. So how could you have over here of all the Averis, this is kind of a minor Aver. Very famous question, a lot of different pshatim on it, but al-kaponim, that's the Omnam. Biyozeh. Ki adova shehu siba al metziyas dova acha hu gam kein sibal ki metziyusay. So the first thing he says is that whenever you have an absolutely necessary cause for something else, then you then without the ongoing cause, you can't have the resultant. For instance, if you work as an accountant in my firm, if there's no firm, you cease to be an accountant. You cease to be an accountant in the firm. The reason why you're an accountant in the firm is because the firm exists and needs an accountant, and without that, you don't have that position. So anytime you have, if A caused B, then B is only there as long as A is there. And let's ask the obvious question, Val yiksha lecha ken nagar sibli rabayis v'gam kolze beheda nagish rabayis kayim. A carpenter caused the house to come, and still you have it left without the carpenter. So he says, "Dovaze enoi ki ena nagas sibala bais rakshu mekarv eitzim yachad." You can't really say that the cause of the house is the carpenter. The carpenter played a role in having the house put up, but you can't say he's the cause of it. So, for instance, if I say that the reason why the chocolate is sticky is because of the heat. So if it stops being hot, the chocolate will not be sticky anymore. That's a cause. It's a direct cause. But if when I say the chocolate is here because I brought it here, then my leaving is not going to stop it because I didn't. That's not called a cause for the chocolate. I did something for it, but I can't call that a real cause. V'abayis nasar naga b'mikra. It's something that it's sort of a causal relationships, but it's not an intrinsic relationship. But if something is the root of something else, kol shekein shusibu kimshal, it certainly is the reason for its continued existence. The sharei hayasibu shenimtza, v'kein gam kein husibu kimshaloi, v'dozem vua b'mayfis. So when we define something as a cause in the way that he's defining it, something which is a cause, which is an innate cause for something, it will be tested by taking it away, if I tell you that the reason why I'm coughing is because there's a germ X in my system, well, the test will be if I test the system, there's no germ X, and I'm still coughing, then the cough is not from that. So it'll be something else that caused the cough, and so on. Ulefikach, he says, Im hoyu mevarachim ala teira tchila leima baruch noisim tarad Yisrael v'hoya abel Hashem Yisbach ma'ashem tarad Yisrael keze iin abroch ala teira shisbach mevaruch hazeh v'oyev Hashem Yisbach v'shal teira shosna teira v'oz hoya zeh siba gamkein kshetia teira miskayemes bis Yisrael sharei Hashem Yisbarach noisim b'lim lishon lasol kayim af im hoya oivrim lef'om mitzvah achas ויחז מיד לישן לעשה של קיים. וזהו אם אין השם יספר שהוא סיבה לתאירו, הוא גם כן סיבה של תספטו. Okay, so let's talk about this point here that he's making. In many types of chachma, in almost all types of chachma, the person giving you, educating you, instructing you, and so on, is not really in any way the cause of that chachma. Even if I came up, I discovered a certain true fact, relationship, or even if I created, I wrote something, once I'm finished, I'm done with it. And I can't call that the cause anymore. So, therefore, if I taught you math, and then I check out, it doesn't. You don't forget your math, and so on. Even though most of the time when we do check out of a class, we tend to forget what we learned, but that has other reasons. That's not part of this. But let's take a different example. Let's say I enjoy a person's company very much, and that's why I like to sit and schmooze with that person. And then I dislike the person. Whatever, we had some spat, and I had a fall out with the person. So now I no longer enjoy the conversation, because the conversation was not business-like where he's instructing me X, Y, Z. It was an expression of the person. I like the person, I like that which he or she expressed. When that stops, I don't have any more a connection, and therefore I stop liking the conversation and so on. Torah, the essence of Torah is, it might or might not stand on its own as something wise or good or whatever you want, but its essence as Torah is, this is the Ribbono Shel Olam's Ratzon, Chachma, or whatever. And so long as I have the Ribbono Shel Olam in the picture, if I had a problem with some part of the Torah, I did this wrong, that wrong, the other thing wrong, okay, the Torah itself is there, my connection itself is there. There's a particular area in which I was negligent. But if I cut from my Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Torah itself dries up and is meaningless. And that's what he says here. Doim lezeh, kashe yigia nezek al anaf ha'itzim in ilon. If, let's say, a branch of a tree got damaged, oza ika shemene yetzi chayze v'goyim gidulim in ha'shoresh. So it causes, so the trunk shoots out other branches. Since the branches and leaves and so on are just offshoots of the tree, that will take place whenever. But if, let's say, I take out the root, then the tree dies and withers. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the root of Torah, and that's a very, very important piece of the puzzle. You know, there were Kufis, especially memorably in Europe, in like Lithuania, people loved learning, and people respected people who sat and learned. And you had strange situations, which today is kind of unthinkable, where you had people who were no longer believers, but still enjoyed Black Gemara. And today it's kind of a thing that we start by being frum, and then we may or may not get into learning. In Litta, people were very into learning, and you'd have people, I mean, the famous stories of Panovich Rav would come to South Africa, had a lot of Lithuanian Jews, and they were notorious for when the Panavacha would come, they loved his shiurim, they would drive up on Shabbos to enjoy a Gemara Sheh. That's the way it was. So when you destroy the root, so if they would be rooted in the Kaddish Baruch Hu, it wouldn't stop. They didn't appreciate Kaddish Baruch Hu for giving Torah to Israel. So they had no way to regenerate it because something at the root was missing. So whatever they were keeping, they were keeping. But if anything broke, any branch with it, it wouldn't regenerate. So not making bracha on Torah is an answer to why it was lost. It's just like basically why somebody died. So if I tell you his immune system was compromised, what I'm saying is, well, that itself doesn't kill you. What kills you is that anything that happens to you has no solution, has no resolution. It's sort of, you caught this cold, that cold, and the other cold, and you die. So if a person's Torah is sort of, if the roots are gone, so whatever branches are still there with leaves, they stick around, and slowly whatever withers is not replaced. So the Chazal were actually giving us the root for it, rather than there's a famous Bach that speaks about this, and Al Kogel Chila, and the Bach says a similar idea about that he says the two motives for learning became, fascinatingly enough, one is to show off and stuff like that, which makes sense. The other one was how to do business properly. I guess even halachically, they were looking at the Shulchan Aruch as an instruction manual, but not more than that. That's what the Bach seems to say. They weren't looking at it as being a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma, rather than being... I want to digress a minute or two, because there's an important point here that he's touching on that he doesn't really mention. There was a great machlokas between Chassidim and Misnagdim about what Torah Lishma is. There's a Chassidish sefer called Yosha Divrei Emes from the very early second or third generation Chassidim, and echoed later by first Slonim Rebbe, Avraham Slonim Yisrael Avoda, where they make the point that learning Torah Lishma is all about the Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not like people who they sort of don't name, but obviously means the Misnagdim or the others, that they, it's an ego trip for them, and etc., etc., etc. So they write that the Talmud Torah, the value of Talmud Torah lies in this Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nefesh HaChaim speaks against it. Nefesh HaChaim devotes a whole parak of his about Talmud Torah, and the point he makes is, and very clearly that's what he's attacking, is that the enjoyment of learning is very much is what learning is all about, and not Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. Very, very strongly against it. And it's one of the sharp machlokas in between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim in a very early stage. I would hazard to guess that whenever you have fundamental machlokas like this between big people, they're actually talking about different things. I think they misread, or they were afraid that the others would be misunderstood, because I think the following is true. I think what the Yosha Dev Emes and then the Yisrael Avoda are attacking is, if my enjoyment of learning is not different than my enjoyment in doing a puzzle, a math puzzle, then learning itself is the same value. So if I happen to have some sort of if I enjoy mathematics, so doing a great math puzzle will give me the same high as learning through a sugya. And let's say I happen to like learning, but if the high that I'm talking about is very similar to the high that I get from doing something else, then I haven't really, then I can't call that as being special. On the other hand, what I think the Nefesh HaChaim is referring to, Dveikus, he means if a person sits and learns with sort of closes his eyes and rolls his eyes and he sort of likes sort of the sing-song of the learning and he feels a high, not different, doesn't understand really what he's learning, but just sort of, you know, getting carried away with sort of the magic of the moment, kind of a new age spiritualist person. That type of Dveikus, not Kadosh Baruch Hu, that fantasized / imagined Dveikus is not what it's about at all. So you have a person here who's not breaking his head on what he's learning, but he just kind of gets a kick out of it. Actually, I think the Breslover writes, he was very extreme in his shittas, and one of the reasons why he was sort of kept the arm's length in terms of his shittas, he has a whole sefer about learning properly, which he says something to the effect, if I remember correctly, that thinking about what you're learning is dangerous, leads to all sorts of things, and you know, it's haughty for you to think you can understand it, and all sorts of dangerous thoughts enter your mind. Is that the right way to learn is not to allow yourself to think about what you're learning, just to say it, and someday HaKadosh Baruch Hu will all explain it to you, and so on. That pretty much is that extreme, I think, that Nefesh HaChaim is referring to, and I think most people, would be kind of very against. It's meant, you're meant to break your head on it, but the enjoyment is because you're understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu through it. It's something where, as opposed to math, where it's a delightful test of your own mind, here you're actually sort of getting a sense of the ultimate emes. There's a certain point of pleasure in a person in knowing what's emes. So when a scientist makes a great discovery, there are two. One pleasure is if it needed a lot of smart input from him, you know, devising an experiment, putting together a few facts, and so on and so forth, that gives him the kick of the intellectual exercise. But there's a nekuda in a person where he likes finding out the truth. Now, on a science, the truth that you find out is the outside shell of reality, how things work. But the deeper questions of what's the purpose, what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, science doesn't deal with. And that's what we find out in Torah. So when a person works hard through Torah and he gets to the bottom of it, then, to a bottom of it, there's not the bottom of it, but to a bottom of it, then the hanor the person has is bikush ha'emes. That hanor is appropriate. That's a divine hanor, and that sort of goes to the heart of what Torah is. Okay. Ve'ama, dovaze nishal, pirush. The morale's there, I think we mentioned last time, is whenever he sees an agarata, he gets to work explaining it in great detail, because he feels every element of agarata is important. So he's going to explain all the different yanim here. So he says like this. The Chazal here says they asked the Chachamim, the Nevi'im, the Malachim, each one of them, and they weren't happy with the answer, so HaKadosh Baruch himself answered. So he's going to explain what these are. V'amru, dova ze nishal v'chulu, pirush, shegim madregas heim. There are three madregas going from the bottom up. Ha-madrega achas hi madregas ha-chachma shesh olim tachtoinim. The first darg of Chochmah is that which is possible to attain within this world without recourse to any extras, just the world around me and my Chochmah. Hamadrega shniya madrega sanavua shi ala neviyah shem bnei adam shem bolam hazeh ubolam ruach hakadosh mal yoyim. The second madrega is people who have extraordinary understandings. So it's a human understanding, but the source is not human brain power, but rather divine inspiration. Hamadrega Gimelhi Hasoga Shibel Yoinim Kemaloch Mel Yoinim. The third Madrega is Malochim, which is an understanding completely divorced of this world. Let me just explain one point that I think is important to explain. The understanding of Nevi'im that's higher than Chachamim is easy to explain. My brain has limitations. Every brain in the world has limitations. It's a piece of flesh, and it can get to point X, Y, or Z. Whatever it can do, it can get to a certain point. And those are its limits, and that we understand. But what about the gap between Nevi'im to Malachim? You know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to Nevi'im, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling them what the truth is, well, the sky's the limit. I mean, as great as the Malach Michoel would be, and whatever Malach Michoel understands, gets with his own mind, why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu pump that information to a Navi? What's this third Madrega Malachim, Danat Nechomer? So, the answer is as follows. The Rambam says this is a few places. He speaks a lot about the Mesech HaMavdol, the physical body which separates you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it means is, let's give an example. Let's say I have a computer. So a computer has many layers of language. If I'm correct, I think it's called machine language. Is the first layer. That's actually what it uses to compute. And then you have layers on top of it. You have the operating system and so on and so forth, and different programming and so on. No matter how sophisticated the second and third level are, it will always be stuck with the limitations of the first system. At the end of the day, if you want the computer to do something, you've got to translate it to the language it speaks. It's not good enough that you say it in your own language, no matter how well you say it, it's going to have to translate to that. Same thing, I could be the most eloquent speaker and say most wonderful thoughts. If the person listening has a limited English or limited understanding of the concepts I'm trying to say, I'm not going to be terribly effective. When we live inside a body, it's not only that our brains are limited, that they don't have enough computing power. You know, it's a piece of flesh, and every flesh has its limits. It's deeper than that. Anything really has to be expressed through physical realities. We can't deal with abstractions. One of the reasons why math is so difficult for people is because you're talking about abstractions. You're not talking about things, you're talking about properties of things, and it makes no difference what I think it is. It's very hard for people to really relate to it. One of the reasons why people enjoy a mashal so much is because a mashal is a way of concretizing some sort of abstract idea. So when I started a mashal, I'm actually able to see it living color. The way, for instance, in trigonometry, when you take an equation and you plot it on a graph, like Cartesian system of plotting things on a graph, it's so much more pleasant. People find it easier to relate to than to a formula, because a formula is a formula. It's very abstract. When you see it worked out on a graph, even though it's still more abstract than reality, but already some sort of physical sense of it is very helpful. So angels, humans, being that they live in the realm of the physical, all abstract ideas need to be translated through a physical filter. And try as I can, I need to, it will come through that, and that will automatically coarsen it. So angels are, so even, it's not that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't tell a Navi the truth. It's not a type of truth that information is the key to it. it's really the type of truth where perception is the key to it. It's sort of getting the right feel for it. And since they're not getting the right feel, so Malachim are really the highest instance. So he says, Malachim al Yerim, v'zeh shamak, dover zeh nishal. Ki mashu yisbar sibel ha-Torah, hu yoyse al yimareyes chachom yu Malachim. So this is a level of abstract reality that's even above what an angel can understand. An angel, at the end of the day, is still something not quasi-physical, but he has limitations. The Rambam says like that, and the Rambam says he's not a physical entity, but he's a bound entity. Let's take a very simple example, and just if we were to ask ourselves the difference between humans and angels, we would say physical / material versus spiritual abstract. But how do you define the difference between angels and God? I mean, more abstract is not a very, very good way of... certainly in English doesn't translate well. You can't get abstract and more abstract. It's kind of... I mean, you know, we talk about it colloquially, you know, things that we don't understand and things we understand even less. But what does it mean when we talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu being different angels, in what way? So the Maral says it actually in Gevuros. The Maral says, when Akadosh Baruch Hu is the entirety, and an angel is a part of that. So every angel has a limitation. Rafal deals with healing, and Michal deals with Kali Swallow, with water, and Gabriel deals with fire, or Midasatin, whatever. Each angel is described and defined as X or Y or Z. And that automatically means that his understanding is less than the understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's say, Lahavdol, let's take an example, simple example. If you want to ask somebody, how is a company doing? We're not talking about the honesty part of it, but simply in the knowledge of it. So, if I speak to any department head in a firm, I'm not going to get a good answer. I'm not going to get a health answer. If I speak to CEO, I would. Again, obviously, if the CEO is honest and astute. But the guy in the research department could be telling me honestly that they have these hundreds of great and fantastic products being developed. But if I know the market is horrible, or there's no financing for it to manufacture it, or my plant is antiquated, it's not going to make any money. So anytime I speak to a branch, I automatically have less of a sense of truth than when I speak to the shoresh, to the root of it. And that's what he says. So malachim, angels, even though they are abstract beings, and there's a ruchnistic element of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're not going to know the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when I say something is higher than chachamim, that's easy. It's something which the human mind can't understand. That's step one. It's greater than the Neviim means that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the answer, but as long as it's coming through a physical filter, it's lost. And finally, even a Malach who's not absorbing information or passing information through a physical filter, but the very fact is he doesn't have the comprehensive understanding, it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says his being a root for Torah supersedes any one of these levels. So he says, so this is something that every one of these is a branch of the truth, and they don't understand the very root of the truth. And there's nothing coming from the resultants that would be a sibur. And I guess we could just simply translate it, because the type of thing we're dealing with is a sort of core issue. or an issue about the core of it, that's something that only the very core could understand. So if let's say two engineers are talking about why this company collapsed, and I'm speaking to the engineering department, and we're both puzzled. The products were phenomenal. They were ingenious, the products. That was great. And I'm not going to be able to understand it because I'm dealing with the root issue. The root issue is, bottom line was, there's no profit. So here we're dealing with Klal Yisrael's inability or unwillingness to connect to the root of the truth, and it may let affect everything else. So, at the end of the day, Torah is given to us as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we were to understand it like that, then we would have that. So just like the Shabbos, the Sefer Torah, the Sefer ongoing. Law of Darts. So let's say a person has a very healthy relationship with Torah. So even if he transgresses here, there, or whatever, there's a process for it to regenerate. So there was no regenerative power in Torah because they weren't dubbing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's root and so on. So he's saying over here that had we latched on to the real Siba of Kiyama Torah, then we would have also latched on to something that would keep regenerating it even when we neglected it. So if we understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being Nosan HaTorah, and it would be the very cause for it to constantly be in Klal Yisrael, we would never have destroyed it, we've never gotten destroyed, and so on. The one of the reasons why we make a bracha Nosen HaTorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps giving the Torah, is because as opposed to any body of knowledge where it's the knowledge itself that counts, you can never say in present form, I can say, you taught me. Yes, you know, it could be that we always learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps teaching us, but we would have spoken about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, because at the end they gave it to us then. He helps us keep it, he helps us get to it. Nosan HaTorah means that there's an ongoing sense that I'm tapping now into HaKadosh Baruch Hu by learning. So when a person is learning, the sense is I'm now tapping into it, and I have the ongoing teaching of it. I'm Lamiter Lama Yisrael. All of those indicate kilos of ongoing teaching. The reason is, and again, it's not so much, yes, there's constant new knowledge in Torah, and we need that, that's right for that, but it's more than that. You need the constant sense. Torah is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacting with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to you. That's the core of what Torah is. And if we don't have an ongoing sense of that, then you don't have Torah really. And that's why the Berachos of Torah are present. That's the Chazal that say it should be every day, like Chadash HaMeinecha and so on. It's also, I guess we can finish off sort of an Inyan El Yoma. It's one of the reasons why Shavuos is not mentioned in the giving of Torah is not mentioned in the holiday at all, despite the fact that it's obvious. I mean, we know the date from Parshas Yisro. We also understand that the Yontif stuck in the middle on the day that Torah happened to be given is not sort of coincidental. But the point is, if we were to peg it as a historical event, we would definitely define it as something that's over with. Yetzias Mitzrayim happy. We owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu tremendous thanks because we wouldn't be here without that. But it's definitely an event that happened once, and we just sort of we can draw from that event. But the event is over there. It's ending with Sukkos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us through the desert. That was an extraordinary event, experience, etc. But that's over. So we can sort of peg it in time and give it a certain marking. This happened this date, this year, and we're touching base with it. But Torah is not like that. It's true that our Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first gave Torah on Vav Sivan, the year that he gave it to us, but that has become part and parcel. It's like a well where I put a faucet in, or a pump, and the water I'm drawing is constantly flowing. Despite the fact that I dug the well 100 years ago, the reason there's water there now is because there's always new water being pumped in, as opposed to sort of a cistern or something like that, where you would just have the water you put in. That's all there is to it. Any questions?
Just on the bracha, it seems like even if, I'm just wondering why the bracha is so important. You know, it feels like you could understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the root of Torah and still have a weak bracha.
Because the bracha is what makes you connected to Hashem. It's one of those areas where it's almost, I don't want to say a paradox, oxymoron. When you're learning and you understand something, that's the thing you can possess the most. Objects you possess to some degree, but it's not part of you really. But what you understand becomes you. It's I understood it and I think it to be true and so on. To keep saying, well, this is Hashem's, is very difficult. And that's what, when you make the bracha, that's in fact what you're doing. You're making a statement, it's the acknowledging it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an ongoing way. That's what you're doing with the bracha.
Okay,
good.
Shavua
tov, kol tov, bye. Okay.